Welcome all to the 2025 Month 9 Investable ETR briefing that covers the trading period from the 1st of September to the 30th of September 2025. Hopefully, you'll find it interesting as we look closer at what's happening within the Credat Group. Firstly, George will show you some of the work that goes on at our deal desk and some of the potential projects him and the team are looking at. Next, Neil will be discussing trade finance transactions during the month of September, and we'll give a refresh on the core principles Credat was built on. We will also be looking at segments on our monthly reports and updates on the European and global economies. Then we'll look at the briefing itself and some of the key information from it with some updates on Credat. So for our first topic, I'll hand you over to George, who's a member of our deal desk.
I just want to give you a big thank you, Maria. I hope everyone is having a fantastic day. The deal desk is buzzing with excitement as we approach the end of 2025. We have so much going on right now, and we're working hard to finish the year strong. One really exciting company we are in discussions with is based in South Africa. This is a dynamic and forward-thinking company that is redefining how manufacturing and supply chain solutions can drive both profit and progress across the African continent. They were established in 2011 and have emerged as a powerful force in the region's manufacturing, distribution, and investment landscape, blending commercial excellence with a strong social mission. Their vision is clear and ambitious, which is to foster the holistic development of all sectors of society globally through an integrous supply chain management approach. This is more than just a corporate slogan. It reflects a deep-seated belief in the potential of African industries to compete globally, powered by ethical business practices and inclusive economic participation. The company's mission further reinforces this intent to enable advanced explorations, immersive experiences, professional engagements, and global empowerment. By aligning its business model with these values, this company positions itself as more than a manufacturer or distributor. It's a catalyst for sustainable development and transformation across Africa. At its core, this company specializes in manufacturing, on-demand and dynamic supply chain design. The company provides primary and secondary supply and distribution services across multiple sectors, helping partners streamline logistics, reduce waste, and meet fast-evolving marketing needs. While the company operates from South Africa, its reach extends far beyond its borders, with a continental footprint and a growing network of partnerships across Africa. This pan-African approach allows the company to integrate local expertise with world-class supply chain strategies, ensuring agility, reliability, and impact. The current deal that we're discussing with them involves them importing a large quantity of powder deactivated carbon from a supplier in China to then be sold to the South African government. This is a very exciting government contract that will run for 3 years in total. We're also in discussions with a Zimbabwe-based resource company operating in the mining and commodity sectors. There has been a huge growth in Zimbabwe's mining sector and a recent surge in exploration activity in regions such as Netherbeland. This company is positioned to take advantage of commodity flows, exploration upside, and associated trade finance opportunities. They center their operations through the exploration of mining and mineral commodities, resource development, cross-border commodity flows, and financing. From a trade finance perspective, the company's involvement in mining means potential points of intersection. So financing of exploration equipment, import and heavy machinery, working capital for mining development, commodity offtake or export flows, risk management of cross-border logistics and supply chain financing. And the current deal that we are discussing with them involves them exporting lithium concentrate from their mine in Zimbabwe to a buyer in China. They own this mine and currently produce an impressive quantity of lithium ore every month. Operating in Zimbabwe places this company in a compelling yet complex, complex environment. Zimbabwe holds significant underexplored regions for mining. The region is a high potential zone for foreign investment. For a company like this one, being locally headquartered means proximity to on-the-ground operations, local workforce, and potential benefit from Zimbabwe's mining reform agenda. The company represents a potentially promising partner for trade finance and commodity flow financing in Zimbabwe. It has a key position in a high potential mining jurisdiction, and proximity to commodity flows aligns with a number of our financing models. We are also in discussions with a company based in Lesotho, buys commercial and non-commercial tires from a supplier in China, and then sells to a buyer in Lesotho. The company is positioning itself to meet local demands in a niche yet, in a niche yet essential industry, tire retail and services. They are looking to carve out their role in the Lesotho automotive market. They were established in 2023, offering replacement tires and servicing of vehicle wheel tire units and supporting the local automotive market. Lesotho's automotive and transport sectors are evolving, with passenger vehicles, light commercial vehicles and heavy trucks operating in mountainous terrain and various road conditions. The demand for reliable tires and service is very real. A company specializing in tire supply, fitment, balancing and related logistics can address an important need in this region, which is the availability of quality tires suited for the mountainous and sometimes rugged terrain. This company represents a promising local enterprise in Lesotho, addressing an essential segment of vehicle maintenance and supply, tire and related services. For financiers and portfolio managers focused on SME trade finance opportunities in South Africa, the company offers a case of locally registered, self-orientated businesses with recurring demand. We mentioned mining in Zimbabwe in today's briefing. The mining sector, interestingly, contributes more than 60% of Zimbabwe's export earnings. It also accounts for about 13% of GDP and supports hundreds of thousands of jobs, both directly and indirectly. Zimbabwe has over 60 different mineral types, with the most economically significant being gold, platinum, diamonds, lithium, coal, core, nickel, and iron ore. Thank you all for joining us today. I truly value our discussions. I'll hand you over now to Neil.
Thanks for that, George. Always great to hear about the work happening on Deal Desk. For today's Trade Desk piece, we'll be focusing on an existing originator. The client this month is a family-run Irish-owned security installation company who specializes in a wide range of surveillance equipment. They have a fully qualified team of technicians who install alarm systems and maintain developments all around the country. They've been in operation for 28 years and have grown from strength to strength, with jobs secured north and south of the border. They are licensed with the Private Security Authority of Ireland and registered with the PSNI Police Response System, which allows them to install and maintain security systems throughout Ireland, making them well known in their industry. They currently employ 30 staff and over the years have expanded, investing heavily in new technologies, allowing them to adapt with the times. Due to this, their workforce has undergone additional training, allowing their product offering shift from traditional services like installation of security barriers, automatic gates and alarm systems, to more advanced technologies like intrusion detection systems and the supply of commercial cloud-based technologies. Due to these advancements, they encountered constraints in their cash flow, purchasing stock and meeting customer demands. To address these limitations, they partnered with Credet, and since then they've availed of our DETR debtor finance, which has helped them draw down working capital on aged receivables. Since joining Credet, they have traded considerable sums on their debtor statements in both euro and GBP, where they have traded a total of 6.1 million euro with debtors based in Ireland, along with 218,000 GBP on UK-based entities in Northern Ireland. We understand some traditional investors may have reservations about Credet's ETR model, and we take those concerns seriously. Due to this, our risk management team undertakes an active role identifying possible risks and securing investable funds through various means. As a result, they've identified risks associated with our DETR debtor facility, and due to this, strictly enforce requirements before funds can be released. To recap on our DETR trade finance, it is the use of our ETR purchasing model, which utilizes investable funds. Credet buys debtor invoices or DETRs at a discounted price, helping to free working capital. Credet then pays our client the purchase payment price, 80% of the face value of the invoice, 20% less cost of funds remains as the reserve balance. On the day ETRs are sold on Credet's trading platform, funds are issued to the client, and let us assume the invoice is settled after 60 days outstanding. Once settled, the remaining 20% reserve balance becomes available, less cost of funds for 60 days, which are then released subject to a reserve and overdue policies. From this, Credet generates a modest profit for the number of days outstanding and uses these profits to settle our investors and pay intermediary commissions. In the case of this originator, their debtors proved themselves to be reliable, so the standard 20% reserve balance more than adequately covers credit notes and specific deductions, which to date has only amounted to less than 1% when compared to the overall trading value. However, to ensure the integrity of each transaction, Credet requires the supply of goods or services must take place before invoices are authorized on our trading platform. For this, the client proof of delivery has become a standard part of their trading documents. This additional layer of verification helps Credet safeguard investable funds and ensure transactions are legitimate. Proof of delivery documents, or PODs, must be signed and dated by their intended recipients before being submitted into our trade floor. Once we have visibility of these documents, along with copies of their sales invoice and purchase order documents, only then will we authorize trades and allow funds to be released. The Credet facility has played a pivotal role supporting our clients' growth, which has enabled them to expand their product offerings. Recently, they established a new subsidiary specializing in audio and visual technology, provides digital screens and outdoor displays. A project they secured was with Volkswagen Ireland, where they supplied digital screens and tablets for use in their showrooms around the country. These enhancements to their product portfolio has allowed them to continue to add value to their company, which in turn has benefited all stakeholders involved, including our investors. I hope you found this presentation informative, and I'll pass you to Maria, who will continue with the briefing. Thank you.
Thanks, Neil. As always, it's interesting to hear about the originator companies on the exchange and the various trades that we're working on. So as we've stated before, Credet will always try to stay informed on what's happening in the world when looking for any new business. Trades that are meaningful to us and have an impact in today's current affairs will always be available as they are what the world and the market is focusing on. So moving to the Baltic Index, we saw that September started off at 2,027. The index rose throughout the month, reaching 2,273 at its highest, before slowly decreasing towards the end of the month to end September at a figure of 2,145. The Baltic Index was recorded at 1,976 as of today. As mentioned in other briefings, we promise to continuously keep an eye on the global economy and factor in geopolitical issues that can cause ongoing effects to the market. Now moving to global news, we see that GDP in the Eurozone increased by 0.2% at the end of the third quarter, according to preliminary estimates from Eurostat. Growth was boosted by Spain and France, with Spain reporting a 0.6% expansion and France registering 0.5% growth, which is significantly higher than analysts' expectations, considering the recent backdrop of political instability in the country. These figures ease pressure on the European Central Bank to cut interest rates any further in the near term, as they confirm the central bank's long-standing view that the economy is proving resilient to this year's unusual spike in uncertainty. Backing the resilience narrative, unemployment held at a near-record low at 6.3% in September, separate Eurostat data showed. The HCOB flash composite PMI also rose from 51.2 to 52.2 this month, indicating improved economic growth momentum at the start of the fourth quarter. Eurozone inflation remained at 2% last month, which is in line with the inflation target set by the ECB. Looking at the UK, business activity growth picked up in October from the near-stalled picture seen in September. At 51.1, up from 50.1 in September, The flash PMI composite output index was the second lowest seen over the past 5 months, signaling only a modest expansion of the economy at the start of the fourth quarter. Inflationary pressures, meanwhile, cooled in October, dropping to a level broadly consistent with the Bank of England's 2% target. The sterling is also coming under pressure as investors brace for potential tax rises and spending cuts in the upcoming UK budget that may exacerbate the economic slowdown. This, along with the cooling inflation, is helping the case for rate reductions at the Bank of England's November meeting. Moving to the US, we see that US consumer confidence eased to a six-month low in October amid worries about the availability of jobs in the near term. The Conference Board said its consumer confidence index fell to 94.6 this month, the lowest reading since an upwardly revised 95.6 in September. The survey showed references to domestic politics, with the ongoing government shutdown highlighted as a key concern. The nearly month-long shutdown is on track to become the longest on record, with no sign of negotiation between Republicans and Democrats in the U.S. Congress to end the impasse over spending. It's estimated that the federal government shutdown could cost the U.S. economy between $7 billion and $14 billion USD, shaving up to 2% from the GDP in the fourth quarter due to the lapse in government spending. Moving to the last section, I will discuss the briefing itself. You will see the figures in the first section showing the active RSA of 77.58 million euro, with 71.84 million euro fully allocated. If we look to the right-hand side of the briefing, we can see that the credit index is 69, with the trading figure for the month recorded at 8.13 million euro, with all available ETR in the market fully utilized. Credit control collections this month amounted to 18.33 million euro, with the exchange's performance once again continuing to jump ahead of all prior years. Our list of top 10 largest holdings and top 10 rated once again contain regular appearances from EKFB, Skanska Costain and DHSC, as well as a new addition, Simpor UK. At the top of the list, similar to last month's briefing, is construction debtor EKFB. Atradius is also back near the top, with CBRE and aggregate industries moving higher, making another appearance. Our donut graph shows the wide variation of our investments, with the largest sections again in wholesale and retail, construction, manufacturing, and hospitality. These different sectors have familiar debtors on our top 10 largest holdings, with regular and reoccurring ones, as well as new debtors being added monthly. The performance in wholesale and retail was the highest this month, with Atradius representing the sector. Construction was our second highest in performance this month, followed by hospitality in our largest holdings for September. These donut graphs continue to show the strong levels of diversification employed throughout credit. If we continue to look at the performance sector, we see that for month 9 of 2025, trading totaled 8.13 million euro, which is circa 10.64% lower than the 9.10 million euro recorded in month 9 of 2024. Volumes decreased slightly this month as the value to volume ratio increased again, in line with higher value and quality traded ETRs. Investor redemptions decreased to 0.71 million euro, with the credit index at 69 for September. Finally, the construction sector registered the largest trade in September at 0.79 million euro. Our trend section shows the interest rate for the month running outside of the current demand fixed and term rates. We can see from the briefing that the interest rate started at 2.066%. The rate increased, reaching a high of 2.071% in the middle of month 9, before fluctuating throughout the rest of the month to end at 2.06%, with potential for October's rates to ease and remain steady. As you all know from the previous briefing, our investable rates on offer for the three products currently stand at demand at 3.00%, fixed at 3.75% for 12 months, and term at 12% at the end of 36 months. This shows the demand for investable is starting to level off and show consistency. And as before, the briefing document ends with the RSA figure of 77.58 million euro. And that concludes this month's briefing for September 2025. Thank you.